J7. Number 2A.
Right, so we just go on and carry on our theme, then, how this need to change perception runs throughout the textbook. Did want to mention, though, that there is in this book by Bruce Wilshire called Metaphysics on page 27 and 29. He mentions in his book, he says, we are confined to a store of conceptual tools that may be inadequate to the task of comprehension. We may even forge new conceptual tools and see the world in quite a different way. Indeed, the world may be quite different. So this is a philosopher in the world who is also seeing that we're confined to our store of conceptual tools that educate the brain, and the brain sees the world the way it wants to see the world and has been educated to see the world. And many books you read where they talk about the laws that the brain allows us to see in the world, and that there may be other laws out there, that our limits of conception limits the laws we find. And we certainly know that's true between Einstein and Newton. That, as just an example, the Newtonian physics that allowed for the mechanistic view of the world, the part view of the world, and Einstein building on Newton, not trying to find anything wrong, just trying to understand Newton, going over Newton and his Newtonian physics, finally saw, not by chance, an irregularity, which was time. And always the irregularity or the anomaly either is ignored and shoved under the carpet, or if one is a genius as an Einstein, they take that irregularity, they look at it and say, this isn't an irregularity, what do I do with it? And what do I do with it? I build a whole new physics on it, the fourth dimensional space-time continuum, which gives us the fourth dimension, added, which is there that sense of time. Three dimensions of space and the one of time within the physical world. So he showed that all I needed is another conceptual tools, other tools to work with, and I discovered another universe, a structural universe, not a mechanistic universe, but a universe of many dimensions, you see, not just the limited ones that we've been working with under just the laws of cause and effect. There are other laws going on, like the laws of spontaneity. So this is very practical, this change of worldview. This isn't just airy-fairy religious type of study. It's science, and sciences evolve through paradigm shifts, and they see different worlds. Thomas Kuhn, in his book on the structure of scientific revolutions, shows that we evolve through revolutions, through crises, and we leave the normal science. And through an irregularity found in normal science, that anomaly, we build an extraordinary science. But it takes extraordinary scientists to do extraordinary science. The normal scientists, he said, just have to die off. They just won't come along. So always where there is a big vision, there's few. Mrs. Eddy says, wherever truth follows, you'll find that they are followed by the few and the faithful. The few. It's not going out for the many. She says something. She'd rather have a few wise students than a wilderness of dullards, as the subject is being learned and grasped, because it will then, of course, be caught in the world. So, but I wanted to show that this is a concept that is natural in sciences, that if you have other concepts, you see the world differently. This isn't just within the spiritual teaching. This is also in the physical realm. So we see then that this is a dimensional sense. We see that being operates cybernetically. Cybernetics, as we all well know now, and as Max has given us those wonderful cassettes from Braunwald, Switzerland in 1969 on the four levels of spiritual consciousness, especially introducing in 1969 70, 20 years ago, this whole concept of divine cybernetics, which we're now just entertaining as if it's big deal. It isn't big. It is big, but it's been around a long time amongst Max and Kapler and his students, this concept of cybernetics. And as I say, those tapes from Braunwald, Switzerland, are tremendous, and I certainly recommend them. There they show that being operates cybernetically as a self-operating system, holistically, always as the whole, dimensionally, that whole taking on many different forms, seen from many different levels, it looks differently, yet it still remains the whole, and teleologically, for the purpose of the whole. So dimensionalism is that one infinite being can be seen from many different standpoints, but it doesn't take away that it isn't still the one being. So we live just in the infinite one universe of God. Now God can be seen through matter views, through mental views, or through spiritual views. And it shows that same universe to be a different universe. According to how you look is according to how you experience. But it's still God. So the universe doesn't have to be changed, you see. We don't have to die out of a physical universe, Mrs. Eddy is showing. There's nothing wrong with this world, but it's our perception of it. And there, hence the big subject of the first and second translations, where we know on page, and this is, would be your handout, if you look then to the back there on page 115 in the textbook. And this is the main subject for this afternoon, so I just want to touch on it now because I want to keep building up this point about perception and reality. But if we look at these 3 degrees, we see here that she starts out from what we call in this work the first translation, or the scientific translation of immortal mind. Then it's what we call the second translation, the scientific translation of mortal mind. Now, this translation is going on within the realm of mind. She could have said the scientific translation of spirit, because that's God, or the scientific translation of soul, that's God, or the scientific translation of principle, life, truth, and love, that's God. But she says mind, because this is going on within our mind, within the way we view things. And the way we view things affects our character, nature, spirit, huh? Affects our journey through life, soul, affects the way we demonstrate our life, principle, as either death, mortal consciousness, or fear, or life, truth, and love. So the scientific translations have to do with mind. That has to be changed first. So it's a scientific translation first of immortal mind. Mind God is translating itself down to where we are. And as we'll see, she shows always that correct reasoning, she shows, is always from, she says, reasoning from cause to effect in the science of mind, we begin with mind, God, which can only be understood through its idea and never from its opposite matter. And this is the big point of St. John, we'll see. St. John is saying the same thing as he saw in Revelation, that he teaches us in his gospel, that we must always reason from God to begin with. That's the big point of John. Correct reasoning. Reasoning from cause to effect, not from effect to cause. Reasoning from God to idea, not from the problem to God. From the material universe to a spiritual universe. You can't go from a material universe to a spiritual universe. You can't make 2 plus 2 equals 5 into a 2 plus 2 equals 4. A 2 plus 2 equals 4 makes a 2 plus 2 equals 5 disappear. But one can't make a mortal into an immortal, she says. But an immortal can show there's no mortality. It's all in reasoning. So this sets up correct reasoning, We must reason first from the scientific translation of immortal mind, and that is done through a self-operating system. God is doing that for us. See, it just, and I only am talking in big generalities in a weekend conference. We can always, through the many tapes available, pick up the details. But in the scientific translation of immortal mind on page 115, you see, first of all, on the left-hand side, God, then man, then idea, showing that the reasoning is always from God to man to idea, that God can only be understood through the idea that expresses it and never through its opposite matter. And that is setting up there the law behind the self-education of the universe. This scientific first translation of the Christ idea shows how those laws of life, truth, and love are educating us. Now, I know some of us are on different standpoints of awareness of the subject, so just take what we can take and let go by what we don't get as far as the symbolism is concerned. I'll keep building it up gradually, but if we look at the model of being, which I'm going to talk about in just a moment in more detail, which is really the vision that St. John saw in the 7,000-year period, was this new heaven and new earth, which is reproduced through this model of being, and I will mention it as symbols in a moment. We will see that this model of being, as Max Kepler has given it to us in the Four Levels book and reproduced it in his Four Levels book as well as in his study aid for the Science of Christian Science, that this represents cybernetics, a self-operating system where the laws of life, truth, and love themselves are always operating on divine science out of themselves. They're always putting themselves into the universe, therefore always operating as input. They're always processing themselves as the Christ on divine science. They're always as themselves. They're the output at Christianity on divine science. And they're always feeding back themselves into being. So those laws of life, truth, and love are always self-operating as being input into the universe. They're being processed to every single specific situation in the universe so that the outcome is that everything is like those laws of life, truth, and love, and that always feeds back to a higher demonstration of those laws. And these laws are always operating as positive feedback, meaning error preventing if you stay with them, and error correcting if your perception happens to be off concerning reality. Staying, first of all, with this first translation, taking the subject of education, these laws that are operating by themselves are educating us. And looking just now at the word vertical, we just want to see, just as an example, how are those laws educating us? They're educating us as the one life. That one life is inputting into the universe God's nature, operation, what God is. Always inputting into the universe that God is of the nature of mind, of the nature of spirit, of the nature of soul, of the nature of principle, life, truth, and love, as we've seen last year. That nature of what God is, as Mrs. Eddy defines on page 465, just as being input into the universe. How? Through the laws of life, truth, and love on Absolute Christian Science. Always, what God is, the true education, is always coming to us through the infinite creative impulsion of life, through the urge of life, through the acceleration of life, through the spontaneity of life, through the breakthrough of life by itself. And life, God, is not only inputting what its nature is into the universe, but it's always, that nature is always coming forth in its right form, its true form, as a fact, according to its inner logic. And it's always coming forth complete, perfect, fulfilled, and goal causality. These laws of life, truth, and love make us succeed. They make our education complete. We cannot sidestep, as I mentioned in the letter I sent out for the class, where Jesus says, "Can ye discern the signs of the times?" The challenge to understand the categories of God. These categories cannot be sidestepped. Why? Because of this Christ translation, this principle translating itself, what it is to the universe, through these laws of success. Now, those laws of success are educating us. And what we can see is, how do they educate us? When we have time, we can look in Kapler's book on a study aid for the study of Christian Science on page 48. And we can see the word order. And we can see then that God is always educating us according to what it is. Mind God seeks the mind in us. Spirit is seeking the spirit in us. Soul is seeking the soul in us. Principle is seeking the principle in us. Life, truth, and love is seeking the life, truth, and love in us. We cannot fail, huh? As John Dorley said, we're doomed for success. That's the laws of success mechanism. Everybody must survive because of these laws of the Christ. Now, for example, mind is coming to the universe, which is God saying, "I am mind. I am not mortal mind. I objectify myself as intelligence in the universe." And that has an impact on the world. That intelligence appears in us as wisdom. The wisdom to know right from wrong. And it's educating us then to seek God. And by responding to that, we give up our ignorance of God. We give up ignorance not because we want to, from one day to another, become smart. I think all of us would be happy going out and playing basketball or tennis or swimming or going to Hawaii and sitting under a palm tree. But the laws of God don't let us stay in ignorance. They force us into success. Every single one of us shall know thee, from the least of them to the greatest. Sometime, someplace, somewhere in consciousness. But we're here today together to help each other because we have accepted our responsibility to respond to that inner voice saying, the spiritual is a higher, the spiritual is what I'm after. It's not the material, it's not the human, my gosh, with all its problems. It's the spiritual realm, that higher realm. There's got to be some place. There's got to be a new heaven for me. There's got to be a new earth for me. There's got to be the peaceful sea of, how does she say, Mrs. Eddy? The peaceful sea of harmony and the golden shore of love, as John wants to bring out. Somewhere there's got to be the gospel of love. And how do I get there? Well, not by our effort. She says the condemnation of Adam to till the ground is thought tending spiritually upward. That's the second record of creation. God's coming to us, making us do it. For example, in spirit. Spirit says, I am spirit. I am not matter. I objectify myself as the only substance of reality. I'm not matter. I'm spirit. That's it. I'm of the nature of idea. Image. Existing in mind and of mind. It's an image that God is projecting as idea that constitutes the substance of the universe. I'm the idea of God. And that comes to me as being pure. I respond. I just suddenly say, I don't like all this first degree of passions and evil beliefs and fear and self-justification and hate and revenge and sickness. I'm getting just tired of it. And even the human that tries to be good, but always the physical overcomes the moral. And the harder I try to be nice, the worse I get kicked for being too weak and nice and icky-wicky-poo. And so we see we're tired of the human. But We respond that we want that higher response of purity. That's purity on a spiritual value. That's not moral purity. It includes moral purity, yes. But it's purity of vision, purity of focus, purity of focusing just on the spiritual. We aren't pure because we want to be pure. I mean, I guess if we took a count in the world, everybody's happy doing what we're doing, you know? I mean, what's wrong with revenge? I'm going to get him. What's wrong with an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth? You know, let's get them. Let's pull out the teeth and poke off the eyes. It gets that bad in the world today with the crime that is going on in the world. Well, we see then that we, those in the on the streets with the drug problems and the crime problems, aren't going to be pure one day because they want to be. They're going to be pure because the Christ is going to make them be pure. Someday, somewhere, through education. The penal, right, type of a penal code is education. They say it over and over again, and they're right. It's, my goodness, to help educate them out of these false beliefs, which Mrs. Eddy said, that the desire for alcohol is just educated belief. The desire for sin is just educated belief. That sin sins the sinner. The education is causing the problem, as we saw. So the Christ is coming to help those come out. It's getting in every single one. Even the hardened sinner on death row has the mind of Christ within them. And mind's going to seek it out through some experience, somewhere. And the Christ is going to, and Spirit's going to seek out the purity. Somewhere they're going to be made pure through experience. As Eddie says, through suffering or science. And soul says, I am soul. I am not Seth's testimony. And I come and I identify myself as the only ego of the universe. And I have my impact on making us understand spiritually. Meaning giving up our little human ego, the little Napoleon within me that wants to run the show, and bend the knee and say, it's not my will, but thine be done. And I give up that sense of selfishness, which brings sensuality and which brings sin. So we could go on, but you can see that with all the different synonyms. Once that educational process is just going on as the law of the first translation. But as the law of the second translation, of the scientific translation of mortal mind, it has an impact. And its impact then is to bring us out of, as we saw last year, and Mrs. Eddy shows, out of the physical. The Christ seeking the Christ in us, mind seeking the mind in us, is going to cause us to come out of the first degree of the physical through science or suffering, out of evil beliefs, passions, appetites, fear, depraved will, self-justification, revenge, sin, sickness, disease. Jealousy, one of the greatest sins of the world, to misunderstand our individual response to God. And why would we be jealous of another when we have our relationship between God and man, and we have all that God is? Being forced out of that through suffering, unreality, all that causes is a view of unreality, into the second degree, where these so-called evil beliefs or false beliefs begin to disappear with us into the moral. We take on more of a transitional stage of moral qualities, of humanity, honesty, affection, compassion, hope, faith, meekness. We take on much more of a mental nature. If I think honestly, I'll have an honest experience. If I think dishonestly, I'll have a dishonest experience. If I'm affectionate, I'm going to have an affectionate experience. If I'm not affectionate, I'm not going to have an See, that's all that going on within the mental can be good or evil. And finally, it forces us, and it forces us because of the tenacity of error. She says that the world will resist divine science because of the vastness of the subject. It's huge. It's infinite. The hatred for truth, the human hatred for truth, and the tenacity of error, not wanting to give up what we call good. Huh? If we were educated to know what we call good is not good, it's bad, we would give it up right away. But we think it's good. We think it's wonderful. Mrs. Eddy says, sometimes beautiful, but always erroneous. And then she says, we come into that spiritual realm of wisdom of mind, the purity of spirit, the spiritual understanding of soul, the spiritual power of principle, the love of life, the health of truth, and the holiness of love. That we come in and our nature then is like God, like the seven. It has been accomplished. Mind has found and turned us into seeing the world as mind sees the world, as the Gospel of John wants to show us. And spirit has found us and has us see the world as spirit sees the world. And soul has us seeing us as soul sees the world. And soul has us looking at the world as principle would look at the world. And life has us looking at the world as life would see the world. And truth has us looking at the world as truth would look at the world. And love has us looking at the world as love looks at the world. And we have that God-eye view of the world of which the Gospel of John is talking. And we're reasoning always from cause to effect. We begin with mind, which can only be understood through its idea and never through its opposite matter, and we've achieved the goal of the translations and retranslations. You see, it's a self-educating process. All we have to do is respond to those steps, as we'll see this afternoon, those mental steps, the first of spiritual steps. They start out mental. All is mental, the second degree. Takes us out of the physical into the mental. The second step, the mental can be good and evil. And then finally into the third step, into us beginning to see the world then from the third degree, from the standpoint of mind. Spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Do we get that feeling that this is happening to us and that all we have to do is respond through science and understanding, and the afternoon session will be how we respond?